Bosley, brought to you by Barfoot and Thompson. On the show today, we're talking with the regional managers from Barfoot and Thompson. Let's get their take on the 2025 year and what are their predictions for next year. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening to us live on Planet FM or if you've downloaded one of our podcasts, you can grab any of them from all your favourite sites. We're on iHeartRadio, Apple, Samsung, YouTube, you name it. We're out there. Thank you for downloading them. We had a record number this week. We really appreciate that. Keep that coming in. Now, I'm really delighted this week to have two wonderful people in the studio, returnees to Property Matters, but it's been a little while, so let's check what's changed. A big welcome to Leanne and Jeff. They are the regional managers for Barfoot and Thompson. Welcome, team.
Good afternoon.
Hi, everyone.
Great to have you both here. And look, before we sort of delve into the market stuff, let's talk first about your own career in real estate. And I know you may have mentioned it last time you were on, but it was a little while ago. Jeff, tell us, when did you first kick off in real estate?
Oh, well, Stephen, it seems like a long, long time ago now, but I started my real estate career about 200 metres up the road from the studio here in Mount Albert.
Really?
And that was selling with Harcourts.
Okay.
And I just sort of returned from my OE and some nefarious time in Dunedin and really time to sort of shape up and establish a new career. So I started my selling career there and then really, really enjoyed that introduction to real estate. Ended up then doing some managing for a Gray Lynn Harcourt's office at the time, and then we established that brand in Ponsonby as well. So then really started on that managing circuit and ended up running some branches and owning some branches in Ponsonby, Epsom and Remuera. During that time, got very interested in auctioneering as well, so made that part of my real estate career. So, yeah, again, previously ran a Ray White franchise as well for 5 years and then have found myself here at Barfoot and Thompson. So a journey, a very enjoyable journey, a very enjoyable career in the business.
It's a lifetime in real estate. What is it about real estate that excites you so much? What grabs you?
Oh, I think it's just that absolute changing environment every day. Every day is different. It's a wonderful career for people. You can see they can provide for their families. It has its ups and downs, but it also has that ability for you to really not be affected by a glass ceiling. And you can absolutely get the rewards that you put in this business.
Brilliant. All right, Leanne, take us back. When did the real estate world begin for you? Was it always real estate?
No, it wasn't always real estate. I had a 23-year career in hairdressing, owned some businesses as well. And then when my shoulder decided it no longer wanted to do what it needed to do, I had a dinner party at home one night and one of my guests owned the local real estate company in Mangawhai. So they were the only local business there. So yeah, before you know it, I'd done my papers, I'd started. It was a really good grounding for me because Mangawhai had a bit of everything. So you learned everything from people who live there to holiday homes to lifestyle to selling farms. So yeah, really good grounding. Did my management papers, just thinking I needed a bit more knowledge, and then ended up coming back to Auckland and taking my first sales manager's role. So I moved to Harcourts and, you know, had a great career and a great time there. And then a good friend convinced me to swap brands and come to Barfoot and Thompson. And so I started for them out west, moved to a big branch out south, couple of branches more, and now I'm regional manager. So I just love it.
So what does the role of regional manager entail?
So basically our job is to support our managers in our branches. to, you know, we collaborate all together, so we make team decisions for areas. There's a lot of supervision that you have to comply with within the law now, and obviously every manager would love their branch to be super successful, so, you know, help and support in growth and what they need in their career to get themselves ahead.
Nice. Jeff, anything different that you would add?
No, I think, you know, we have a large network, over 88 offices in our network. So, as Leanne said, our job is to support the managers in that network. It is a much more complex role now, as many businesses would understand that. So it's our job, particularly to get alongside those newer managers and just help them on that initial journey. They're running big businesses, and it's just to make sure that they get the help and support, you know, initially to make themselves successful.
Leanne, Balfour & Thompson's not a franchise network, so maybe for our listeners, because we are a national program here, what is the difference between sort of the franchise real estate model and the non-franchise?
So, yeah, Balfour & Thompson is a family-owned company. It means for us that everything is open for everybody in the company. So if you have a listing, for example, out west, and I live out south, but I've got a family member looking to purchase out west, then there's nothing stopping us from working in any area to be able to help support people. When you're a franchise, you usually have a given area. So like Jeff and I, we've been at different branches. So one of my branches was Henderson, and then Blockhouse Bay. So we have an area and we pretty much focus just on that area.
Right. Okay. Cool. So Jeff, looking back at 2025, what was the market like for sales?
You know, look, 2025 was I guess a year of transition. You know, we have come off a time of some changes in the market, some challenging times as well. I think that's been the global economy to a large degree. Real estate was affected by those changes and some, you know, readjustment in the New Zealand market as well. I think generally we've seen an improvement in those sales numbers, in those transactions as we've come to the end of 2025. There's still some challenges there, but we have seen that downward trend in interest rates. And I think that's, you know, obviously one of the key drivers of the market as well. So I think we're ending the year on a bit of a high. I know from our own company's perspective, even in the last couple of weeks, we've seen record numbers of weekly sales for the brand. So we're very much encouraged by that. We've continued to grow as well. So, you know, there has been some fallout in the industry, and it hasn't been an easy journey, but I think, like I say, as we're coming to the end of this year, I think we're going to end on a pretty positive note.
Question for both of you then, get the crystal ball out. What, first of all, is summer, the next sort of few months, going to look like, and what do you think 2026 is going to look like?
I believe there's going to be some real positive change. We've got one more OCR drop that impacts interest rates, so that makes it easier. We're in more of a stable market, so I think when you're in a stable market and things are not skyrocketing at a fast pace ahead of you, it's a lot easier for people to make financial decisions because they're not panicking that if they don't quickly buy now, the price might go up by next week. And I think, like Jeff said, we've come through a few years of a really rocky market, some, you know, really hard times for a lot of people out there to be able to make a living. And we talk about a clock. So 12 o'clock, we're at the height of the market. 6 o'clock, we're at the low of the market. And we look at it now like we're at about 10 to 12. So things are looking really positive. And it looks like 2006, although it's not going to race ahead and prices are going to dramatically increase, there's going to be a lot more movement for people.
Your clock's a bit better than the doomsday clock then. Jeff, any predictions from you? You're a man with your crystal ball.
Yeah, look, I think the market's actually going to kick off a bit earlier in the new year than we would normally anticipate. I think what we are seeing, as I say, that the data that's coming in just really recently sort of shows us that there is activity in the market. We're seeing bigger numbers at our auction, more properties sold under the hammer. We're seeing multi-offer situations. And just by the sheer numbers of people coming through the open homes, which is all data we can track right across the city. Having the 88 offices, we get pretty good intel. And the general feeling is yes, there is momentum. So I would anticipate that the market, instead of that normal slow build towards the end of January, I would anticipate that by mid-January, I would think we're underway again.
Does summer play much as a season, play a difference in the amount, the volume that gets listed? Or are we naturally at Kiwis, you know, really after that Christmas clean up?
I think traditionally, you know, the period we're in now into that lead up to Christmas is still a big thing for New Zealanders. Yeah, they still think of, can we tidy up the business before Christmas? If we're going to sell the house, can we get it sold? Or if we're going to buy, at least have that satisfaction. Mm. Of course, you know, you talk about the people transferring from other parts of the country, so they want to get their children sorted in their schooling area. So they want to, or if they're on transfer for business starting in the new year, they want to get those things locked in often before the end of the year. And again, that post-Christmas time, because our markets now, we've got, you know, we deal with a lot of the Asian market that are on different rhythms to this traditional Kiwi year. So again, that market can start quite quickly in that new year. And that summer period, again, is traditionally a time when homes are looking their best and New Zealanders like to present their property, you know, when it's warm, when it's sunny, when it's looking at its best. So again, that February, March, April is a big, you know, period for the real estate market.
Okay. Leanne, for people listening who are perhaps new to the real estate world or maybe a new investor, can you talk us through what are some of the things, you mentioned a few before, what are some of the big things that really impact the real estate market?
I think if I just mention one thing, so, you know, finance obviously is one of the biggest things. Can we afford the loan? How much do we have saved? You know, the lower interest rates are, the more affordable it is for a purchaser. And obviously, the higher interest rates get, the harder it is. I think people need to consider when buying a home, you know, that it's not just can my wages cover my mortgage. You know, you've got utilities, you've got food, you've got kids to run around. And does that all add up to, you know, what the end number is when you're having to pay all those bills? For some people, I think that can be like a little overwhelming. So sorted.org.nz is a brilliant online program. You don't have to think. It tells you all the categories you need to load your money in. So, you know, when you don't need to forget a utility bill because it will have every utility bill you can possibly do. And it can track a budget for you really, really quickly. So I think that's a really helpful thing when people are thinking, you know, what are my monthly outgoings going to be? I think for an investor, you know, they're always looking at a purchase based on what does the rental market need, which is very different to somebody like myself purchasing a home. I'm going to do it with my heart. So, you know, what's missing in the rental market, you know, is it a matter of sometimes there's not enough two-bedroom units in your area, or how much rent do I need to cover all my bills? Do I need to make sure I buy a 3 to 4 bedroom rather than a 2 bedroom? So, yeah. That's some of the things.
Love that. Love that sorted.org. That's a great site. Mm. Yeah. Jeff, many of our listeners on this show are in the real estate world as generally sales agents, and they listen from all around the country. What's your advice to them during this current market to maximise the chance of a sale?
Yeah, look, that's a great question. Look, I think it's always about communication. You know, it's about really keeping that communication going with your vendor, with the seller, and with the buyer. It's that we are in a market where that data is available, and it's essential that you give the vendor that marketing material, that data, and allowing them to make a good decision about what is the market like. And I think, again, critical not to look back. We have to look forward. You know, it's and we can't be waiting around for those prices in that bubble that we had in that post-COVID years. There is a different reality in the marketplace now. So I think having those good conversations with your vendor, looking after the buyer, and just making sure you're maximizing those marketing opportunities for the property as well. So things like presentation of the property, making sure the photography is up to scratch, and constantly just reviewing the scripts and how your market is going, what your marketing reach is for those properties. It's just important to, if there is competition in the marketplace that you're operating in, that how do you put the property you're marketing up on a pedestal and make sure that you're the one that's getting the interest in the property.
Auctions, I remember last time you came, you talked a lot about auctions. Are they still sort of the number one go-to for sales?
Look, I think it is. Again, it's the way of putting that property on the pedestal. It is a call to action for the buyers, and I think it's the message they send to those buyers as well, that look, this vendor is serious about selling. There is a finite time on this, so that works well for both parties. The vendor has a set date where they want to get the business concluded, and the purchaser again knows that, look, I can get a decision yes or no on that auction date. So I think, again, we're seeing an uptick in the auction properties. The buyers are liking the transparency. And if they're uncertain about market value, then there's no better way to know what's happening in any market than attend an auction.
Absolutely. Leanne, Jeff just mentioned, you know, the importance of good photos, making a house tidy. What else is important to make your property or property listing? Because so many people are just, you know, that initial contact is purely online. What do we do to make it stand out?
That's another good question. And just to touch a few more things on what Jeff said, I'm a really big believer in video. And not just a video that shows the home with music in the background. There's a lot of people out there that start off believing that this is the only suburb they're going to purchase in. And often that might not end up being the case, because that good old saying, we don't know what we don't know. So, you know, a video that actually can tell a story is an incredible way to get people to listen to your property, not just show there's a bedroom and a bathroom, and yes, it's lovely, but it tells you about the property. It tells you about what's in the area. So is there great schooling in this area, or is there an amazing park down the road that's, you know, great for families with children? Or, you know, can I launch my little dinghy because there's a little track that winds down the path across the road? So I think telling people a little story about what you have to offer in the area, don't always presume that the buyer comes from your area and knows what it has to offer.
Take them for a walk. Take them on a journey.
Take them for a walk.
Do you think it's a good time for investors still to be purchasing investment properties?
Look, I don't think it's been a better time. We've had some great interest drops. The current fixed term at the moment is 4.5%. We may see that drop a little bit more. Don't have a complete crystal ball, but that's usually what happens when we have an OCR drop. And I've never seen so many properties with a $500,000 at the front of them. So, you know, when the market, you know, climbed and we were going through crazy times, we lost all of that. But there are lots of amazing bargains out there, especially for the buyers. It's definitely a bit more of a buyer's market, harder on our owners because there's a lot of competition. But, yeah.
So, yeah, great time for an investor then.
A great time.
Jeff, from a property management perspective, 2025 was a big year with the final deadline of Healthy Homes hitting. And now just before Christmas, we're hit with changes around regulation on pets and pet bonds. How have your property managers coped with this big year?
It has been a big year. And look, I think what it's brought into stark relief is just the difference between having a professional property manager looking after your property. Mm. There's so many things to navigate now, and what we've seen is considerable fallout for those that have had their property managed by either inexperienced or just unskilled property managers, or for that matter, trying to do it themselves. Mm. So I think navigating through the market, that market at the moment, is just nigh on impossible now for your either your small property investor,
yeah,
or you need the resource of a company that's going to look after you, because it's the pitfalls are many.
Mm, the fines are large,
fines are large.
If you get it wrong,
and that's it. And you know, we are in the age of AI complaints and litigation, not just in sales but also in property management. So really important that we protect both our tenants and our landlords, and again, reiterate that need for a professional property manager.
Absolutely. Now, latest data from realestate.co.nz reveals the national average weekly rent price is down 3.2% year-on-year to 628, which is good news for renters nationally, after Stats New Zealand reported food prices had increased 4.1% in the 12 months to September 2025. Now, in the October rental report, data also revealed new rental listings were up nationally by 11.4%. in October compared to the previous year, while stock was up 21.2%. Vanessa Williams, a regular on the show, spokesperson for realestate.co.nz, said the fact that average rental prices are down nationally tells us the rental market is going in a different direction from the broader cost of living pressure, which is certainly welcome news for tenants. Now, in Auckland, the average rental price was down 3.4% to $683 a week, while Waikato hit a record high of new listings with 743 homes hitting the market for rent during October. Now, this was up 16.1% year on year, and new listings were up significantly in all parts of Wellington too, with the biggest increase seen in Lower Hutt with a 101.8% increase. Now, our dear friends in Canterbury, your average rental price of $586 per week is just $1 up from 12 months prior. This was despite new listings being up 10% and stock being up 21.8%. So, Jeff, lots of data there to digest. What are your thoughts on these numbers? Are we finally seeing the position change for renters? And do you have any predictions for what 2026 could look like?
Certainly, Christchurch and Canterbury look like the go-to place, don't
absolutely
they?
Absolutely.
Look, I think there's no doubt that renters do have more choice in the marketplace. And again, it's really reiterating that need now more than ever to have a professional property manager on your side. They can keep the pulse on where that rents are going, because the last thing an investor wants is an empty property. So someone that's got is all over that information and can make sure that, you know, if there needs to be a rent adjustment in order to make that property tenanted, then that's what you need. I think the message is also, you know, we need to look after our tenants. We need, you know, good tenants are a real value to the business and obviously to the landlords as well. So I think, again, really taking care of that, listening to the good advice of a property manager and just making sure that, you know, that those two are that we know what the market value is and if we have to adjust our expectations to that. But I think as well as that, it is a good time for savvy market investors, for rental investors to get back into the market. And we're already seeing that, I think, with maybe the capital gain may not be there in the near future, but there's positive cash flow properties now available for those, as I say, those savvy investors that we're already seeing in the auction room and out in the marketplace. So, yeah, while it has changed, property is always going to be a great medium to long-term investment in New Zealand. And I think not getting caught up in the short term is probably the way for those people who still want to build wealth through an investment portfolio.
I love that. I love your comment around the tenants. You know, what's your biggest asset inside of your investment property? It's your tenants. You want to keep them, the good ones, hold on to them.
Absolutely.
All right, Leanne, a little bit of a shift now. If we turn to the career of a real estate agent, do you think it's a good time to start a career in this current space and market, or does this market make it a little difficult?
I think, as we've mentioned before, Stephen, you know, we've come through the hard time. I talked about our real estate clock. So I can't see personally a better time. If you're thinking of a career, then you've got, you know, maybe a decent break coming up for the summer. So could be time to get your, you know, some of your papers underway while you've got a little bit of extra time. But historically, you know, that February, March, April, May has always been our best time of the year for sales. We've talked about the fact that people love to put their property on the market when it's sunny and their gardens are looking, you know, spectacular, and they've got time to be out in daylight saving, washing down the house, all of those kind of things. So I genuinely do believe, if you'd said to me perhaps in May, I might have said, hang off, save a little bit more money behind you, and wait and head towards the end of the year. So, yes, now's definitely a great time.
You mentioned doing the papers. Jeff, what's involved qualification and training-wise in becoming an agent? And can you start learning before you're sort of attached to a specific agency?
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's never been more options or more opportunity now to, A, build that knowledge base and do your initial salesperson certificate. There's three or four different organisations that offer online courses or a mixture of online and in-person courses as well. And again, yes, I think there's great property podcasts like this one. There's so much information. There's online coaches. There's all sorts of things you can do to immerse yourself in the business even before you start, like visiting open homes, just really getting a feel for the whole property market. It does become quite addictive. And once you're immersed in that world, then you may think, yeah, this is certainly a career for me. So, yeah, lots of opportunity to do a bit of pre-learning and pre-introduction to the business as well.
Brilliant. Now, Leanne, obviously you both work for Barfoot & Thompson, but as we are a national program, there will be listeners here that are not in your Barfoot & Thompson regions, but thinking about perhaps that career journey or kicking it off. So if they're thinking about which agency to start their career with, what advice would you give them? Rather than brands, what should they be looking for?
So Look, Stephen, most managers and most officers are looking to take on new people. There may be rare circumstances. So my advice is don't just go to one person. You know, you may have to make an appointment, but, you know, confidently just rock up to a real estate office, tell them you're thinking of a career in real estate and is there anyone available to have a chat with you. If perhaps the manager's not there at the time or out on business, then what's a good time to come back? But I would
good
definitely...
Good vibe check of an office too. Yeah.
I would definitely, you know, go and talk to a few different agencies and find out, you know, what you think's going to fit with you and what you like about them as a brand and them as an individual office.
Nice. Now, from a branch perspective, is it vital to stay with one company and build your brand, or are there moments in your career that a change is okay? Because I'm conscious both of you had different brands named at the start of your sort of breakdown. Jeff, what's your advice for someone trying to build their brand?
Look, I think the resource available now to every agent to grow their individual brand is huge, but it is important to be in an office environment that's going to support your growth and also support you know, that's a culture where you're comfortable and where you're proud of to do your own business. So look, it's sometimes you might feel you outgrow that office and you need to change. So I think you are a self-employed contractor as a sales agent. So you are responsible, you know, basically for your own career path. So that's why I think it's really good initially, as Leanne was saying, to check out a few different offices, just check in that with those managers and say, hey, this is what I've got in mind for my career, because some people have different reasons for coming into the industry. Some people, it's hard charging growth and they really want to be a multi-millionaire real estate agent. Other people are happy to manage it a little bit more of a lifestyle. They may have a young family, so they need to sort of juggle a few other things as well. So I think important when you're making that decision about a branch that A, the manager and the organisation knows what your goals are in the business, so it fits with them, but also for you, that am I going to get the support here? Are they going to push me, or am I sort of going to be left on my own? So that help and guidance, particularly in that initial period, is really, really important. If you get that right, then you may, as with Barfoot and Thompson, people end up staying for 20 plus years because that growth and that lifestyle is supported.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to put you on the spot now. So someone has just finished their training. They've started in a company somewhere in New Zealand. What are your top tips for their first 6 months towards success?
Well, again, I think you've just, you know, get into that office. Really, my encouragement is to be in the office. You know, I think a lot of people now do work remotely, and if you're an established operator, then you can get away with that a little bit more. But I think initially, get into that real estate office. Just offer to do the open homes. Make sure you go out on caravan. Just be a willingness to take care of those open home buyer lists and follow them up. Do the door knocking. Do the basics. You know, there's a big emphasis on digital connections and AI, but I think the best place to start your real estate is very much in the analog space. Knock on those doors, pick up the phone, talk to people, make those connections is going to be your best start in the business, no matter where you are.
If I just added to that, and I'm going to take one sentence and step backwards, although it sounded like Jeff and I moved around a lot of those branches were owned by the same people.
Right, so within that company.
It was within the same company. So I do believe at least in your first period, you need to try and settle in one place. However, I think in your first year, if you're not getting enough help and support, then you definitely need to be finding who's going to give you that help and support. So you may need to move quickly in your first year.
Mm. And for listeners, Caravan is not going on holiday with your salespeople, but travelling around and checking out the properties, isn't it?
A bit of jargon.
As a team, yeah. All right, we've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to move into quick fire round. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Quick fire round. Leanne, talk us through the difference of working on your own versus a partnership. What do you think, or a team, what's best starting out?
I don't think there's anything best. I think when you first start, you may be nervous and may not have the confidence to start on your own. So you presume that a team is great, and teams are great. They offer different types of support. But if you've got a great supportive manager and all your training and all your setup available for you, then have the confidence and at least give it a go yourself.
Nice. Okay. Jeff, what advice do you give an experienced salesperson that perhaps has gone a little bit stale and needs a bit of a refresh? Hey, how do they know that? It's probably the first part of the question.
I sort of think you'll know that if your business isn't growing in real estate, it's going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Get a coach. You know, okay. I think at every juncture, and I know my career and many other experienced salespeople I've dealt with, if you want to get out of that funk, if you want to grow it, get an accountability coach, relaunch your goals and go again. And we all do need that refresh. We need that accountability, and we need someone just to help us with that.
Nice. Leanne, in the New Zealand Herald last week, there was an article about a Bath & Thompson salesperson selling 37 properties under mortgagee sales. So what advice do you give a homeowner that's perhaps struggling to meet their payments due to the change in their own life or work situation?
Look, I'd say don't be embarrassed. You're not the only person that this can happen to. But the more you try and push it aside and do nothing about it, the worse your situation will get. Banks are there to work for you and help you. If you have to go through to the mortgagee stage, then I would say present your home the best that you can, because if that agent who's looking after your property as a mortgagee, the more you can let them do open homes and viewings, the more that your house is tidy and presentable, then when the mortgagee auction happens, hopefully you're going to get a much higher price. The more you shut the doors, the less price you will get, and then you could end up with no, obviously, your home sold, still owing the bank money. So
good advice.
Put effort into your home and getting it, you know, as many people through as possible.
Brilliant. All right. Fondest memories, you two. What's been your fondest memories from when you were out selling? Jeff?
Look, I think handing over the keys to a, you know, to someone who's bought their first home and knowing that you had a role in that is just a feeling that you never get sick of when you're in sales, or watching, you know, the hammer fall on a property and seeing that vendor being able to get on with their life. You become intimately involved in people's lives and journey, and you never get sick of that.
Nice. Leanne?
I'll take a different tact. I would say the career opportunities. So starting as a salesperson, making your way to, you know, if this is the way you want to go, to a sales manager and then a branch manager and now to a regional manager, has been an amazing career path. That's been exciting for someone who really didn't necessarily do so well at school. It's been a great career.
Biggest change you've noticed in the industry?
Technology is obviously is a big part of the business. Even though we are still fundamentally a face-to-face business, you know, AI, compliance, litigation, all the things that are affecting all sorts of service industries now. But the great thing about real estate, it is still, it's a kitchen table business where you're face to face with your homeowners and your sellers, and you'll never get sick of that.
Nice. Brilliant. Thank you both for coming on and sharing your stories and your experience today. I hear your nickname in the company is Batman and Robinson. great to have your insights, and would love to catch up again in a year and see if your crystal ball gazing was right. That will be the ultimate test. But thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Stephen. A real pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can download our podcast from your favourite podcast site. But we'll be back again next Monday. Have a fabulous week. The sun is shining. Enjoy it. Take care.